all of us are keenly aware that life is filled with many disappointments. You and I will face disappointments in our family. We're going to face, and some within our church are facing now, disappointments in relation to their health. We're going to have different disappointments that are based upon our finances or because of a job. And sometimes we even find disappointments within the church of God and with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Yet for many, those disappointments lead them to the place of despair. But the Bible tells us that the Christian doesn't need to despair because he understands that the disappointments can and should be building blocks, not stumbling blocks. Years ago, I read a book that was entitled The Bumps Are What You Climb On. And it's a good title, and it's also a very good book written by Warren Wiersbe, and good perspective as we face the different disappointments of life. In fact, someone else has said there may be gold for others in our disappointments. Paul said it this way, that God works all things together for good to those who love God. God is able to take all things, even those things which to us seem to be so disappointing, and turn them for our good. This evening as we open our Bibles, I want us to be reminded that your satisfaction and my satisfaction in this life is not based upon the circumstances in which we find ourselves, because the circumstances at times will be disappointing. We're always going to face disappointment and things which don't match up to what our expectations were. But our satisfaction is to be found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. David said it this way in Psalm 107 in verse 9. He said, "For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." It is God that satisfies the soul. Before we go ahead and consider this theme together this evening, I want you to bow with me, and then we're going to ask God's blessing upon our time and our study tonight. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you tonight that we can come to your word and find help in the midst of the trials and troubles of life, the things which bring to us disappointment. Father, as long as we live upon this earth, this sin-cursed earth, there will be disappointments. There will be problems that we face. There will be people who fail us. There will be troubles that we'll be complexed by and we won't know what to do. There will be things that just don't seem to make sense, that just don't match up to what we believed ought to have happened. Our expectations will fall woefully short at times. We're going to face disappointment. But Father, we can realize that just because there are disappointments and circumstances, it doesn't have to change our experience of joy and satisfaction. For that is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. So, Father, we ask and pray tonight that you would help us and you would teach us this evening. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. When you and I consider the thought of being satisfied in Christ, the thought that I want to communicate to us is what Paul shares with us in Philippians chapter 4, that in whatsoever state we are in, we can learn to be content. Many today, I think, are missing out on the blessings that are before them because we lack spiritual contentment. We're not satisfied with Christ and Him alone. We believe that somehow there must be more than just our relationship with Christ. Somehow there has to be, in order for there to be joy, in order for there to be pleasure, there has to be things and circumstances which bring that to us. Yet I think the Bible makes it very clear that that which brings us our greatest joy and our greatest satisfaction is only Jesus Christ. Because things, people, will create for us disappointments. People disappoint you because they are not perfect. And by the way, you are not perfect, and you are a source of disappointment to other people. I know that's hard for you to believe because you just think you're just the most wonderful person on the face of the earth. And in many ways, you can be. But you can also become a great source of discouragement and disappointment for those around you because you will fail people. You are going to not make the expectations that some have for you. You're going to say you're going to be there and then fail to remember to be there. You're going to say to someone, I'm going to pray for you, and you're going to fail to pray for them. You will be a source of disappointment, and people will disappoint you as well. If you haven't learned that yet, you're going to be disappointed pretty soon because people will disappoint. You can look at circumstances and say, that's what's going to bring my joy. But we will find, the more that we seek our joy and our contentment in things, that they leave us empty. Solomon said that vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Nothing seems to satisfy. Because nothing does except for Jesus Christ. As we come to Philippians chapter 4 tonight, I want to see the first of three things tonight that would help us learn to be satisfied in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Number one, we ought to be satisfied with my position. There ought to be a satisfaction with my position. Look at Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. Paul writes and says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Go over to verse 19. "But my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." As we come to Philippians chapter 4 tonight, we're going to see that our satisfaction is not in our position, not in the state that we find ourselves in, but in Christ and Him alone. Paul is able to say, in whatsoever state I am in, I can be content. He is writing this letter, you'll be reminded, to convey to the believer the truth of joy. And what's remarkable is that this is one of Paul's prison epistles. He writes this from a jail cell saying, I can be content no matter what state, what position I find myself currently in. I can have joy. He could be joyful because he was content. Paul qualified that statement of being content in verse 12 when he says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to be hungry and I know how to be full. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, it really doesn't matter. I can have joy because I am content. The word content is an interesting word. Here's what it means: to be sufficient in our circumstances. Think about that for a moment. To be sufficient in your circumstances. Let me ask you a question tonight. Where you are right now tonight, the position that you find yourself in, good or bad, do you find sufficiency in that place? Or do you believe that the circumstance has to change so you can be satisfied? You have to be honest with yourself in that answer. To be content means I have all that I need right now where I am. That means if my bank account's at zero or next to zero and I don't know where the next meal is coming, it's okay. I'm sufficient because God supplies my needs. If I am abounding and I have a seemingly wealth beyond measure, I have more than I need. You know what that means? I am still sufficient in God because it all belongs to Him. Didn't Job say, naked came I into this world and naked came I thither? God gave and God took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whether we are abounding or whether we're abased, we must be content with our position. Why? Because, folks, what I have above all is Jesus Christ. And He is enough. Paul from a jail cell says, I'm content. He didn't have a whole lot, folks, there. It wasn't a pleasant scenario to be in, but he was content. Socrates made this statement about the wealth of man. He says, contentment is natural wealth. Luxury is artificial poverty. Contentment is wealth, where luxury is just artificial poverty. Think about that one. Why? What do we seem to run after today? In our society, what do we want? Luxury. We're not content with what we have. It always has to be better. We always have to have more. It's not enough that we have just a cell phone. It has to be a certain kind of cell phone. And when the new one comes out, somehow the old one has to break so we can get the new one. It's not just about having something's nice. We have to have better because we walked into someone's home and they have nicer furniture than we have. We need more. Now, there's nothing wrong with buying furniture when you need furniture because you got to sit on something. But you know what? We don't need to envy what other people have and then go after what they have. We ought to be content. The story is told of a rich young industrialist that became very disturbed one day as he walked by a fisherman just seemingly sitting lazily by his boat. The industrialist asked the fisherman, "Why aren't you out fishing?" The fisherman replied, "I caught enough fish today." The rich man responded, "Well, why don't you catch more fish than you need?" The fisherman thought, "What would I do with them?" "You could earn more money and buy a better boat so that you could go deeper and catch more fish. You could purchase nylon nets and catch even more fish, make more money so you could have a fleet of boats and be rich just like me." The fisherman thought, "What would I do next?" The rich man responded, "You could then sit down and enjoy the rest of your life." The fisherman said, "Isn't that what I'm doing now?" Think about the mentality, folks. What are we pursuing after? What is it that is driving our goals? What is our motivations in this life? Paul says we have to learn to be satisfied with our position. Too many are running around today after all the things that the world says. If you have these experiences, you'll be happy. You'll be content. And if you don't, you'll miss out. I think we are missing out today on some of the basic blessings of God because we're running after all the wrong things. We get our lives consumed with what our next vacation is, what our next event will be, where our next trip might be. We get consumed with what our next possession might be, and that's where we live, all along forgetting to simply be content where God has placed us today. When Paul then says in verse 13 and 19 is so true. If I'm content in my position, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I can do that because I know what verse 19 teaches, that my God will supply all of my needs according to His riches in glory. You and I need to remain satisfied in Christ and Him alone. And by the way, one of the greatest parts of that satisfaction and contentment is found in Hebrews 13 and verse 5. What's Hebrews 13, 5 tell us? We know the last part of that verse well, don't we? For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What's the basis of that? Contentment. I can be content because my God has promised to be with me, and I can be satisfied in Him and Him alone. I want to ask you again tonight. Are you satisfied with your current position tonight? Right where you find yourself today. I'm not talking about, well, if I got to this point, then I would be satisfied. I'm asking, are you satisfied where you are tonight? Wherever that finds you, are you satisfied that God has put you there? Do you believe that He works all things together for good? If you believe that, then He has you right where you are today to do His will within your life. We ought to be satisfied with our position. Second, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Closely linked to our position is our possessions. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 6. Paul writes to Timothy and says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Not just are we to be satisfied with our position, but we ought to be satisfied with our possessions. Paul says that godliness with contentment is great gain. How would you define great gain tonight? Is your definition of your great gain wrapped around the two thoughts of godliness and contentment? I'll be honest, most people in this world would not define their gain through those two terms. Again, to be content is sufficient with our circumstances. To be godly, if we could define it this way, is to live as God would have us to live. To live in a way pleasing to our God. Godliness and contentment bring to the believer great gain. Our gain is found when we are content to be godly, when our greatest concern is living in a way pleasing to the Lord. There's where we're going to find the greatest gains in this life. I like how Paul reminds us after that statement what Job understood, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we'll carry nothing out. Again, Job said, naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return thither. God gave, God has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. By the way, what's the purpose of living to build great wealth on this earth? You know what most people say? I want to leave it as an inheritance to my children. anybody know of anyone leaving a great deal of money to their children that did not turn out well? Go ahead, you can be honest. I do. I know just a little bit of wealth that doesn't turn out well. What seems to happen at the death of the family patriarch? Everyone scrambles for what they want, right? What happens to the nuclear family underneath the patriarchs?
They draw closer together in love one for another.
Huh. Bam! They're gone! It splits! Why? Because they're fighting and bickering over what?
Well, that's sentimental to me.
Okay. But guess what? When you die, someone else is taking that one too. Right? Sure. There are people today who live to amass wealth that the next generation won't have to struggle at all. I'm not sure that's the best scenario for them to be in. Now, Dr. Harper's sitting back there grinning at me. He's grinning at me because probably 2 years ago I said to parents, you know, you don't have to leave an inheritance, you need to leave a heritage. And he came up to me and said, that's great. I don't have to leave my kids any money. That's right. Go enjoy it. Leave them a godly heritage. Isn't that far better? Job said, I didn't bring anything in, and I'm not taking anything with me. Paul makes the same statement. Well, you didn't bring anything with you. You're not taking anything out. Having food and raiment, the basic necessities, be content. And folks, that's what we need to focus on. Instead, we spend our time seeking worldly riches and find that we are unsatisfied with all of those things. In fact, Paul warns and says that the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Here are the words of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 5 in verse 10. He who loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This also is vanity. Folks, the wisest man, God said, the wisest man to ever live, he came to the right conclusion. You know how he came to that conclusion? He loved silver and abundance. And in the process, he erred from the faith. He did. But thankfully, he returned. And thankfully, he came to the right conclusion towards the end of his life, that we are to but fear the Lord and serve Him. That's what matters. There's the conclusion. But those who love silver, they'll never be satisfied. And those who seek after abundance will find it to be vanity. Turn now with me, if you would, to Psalm 37 tonight. Psalm 37. I want to close tonight by reminding us that we are not to be consumed with position or possession. We're to be satisfied with our position. We're to be satisfied with our possessions. And finally, I want you to see we need to be satisfied with His person, the person of Jesus Christ. Life is not controlled by our circumstances, nor should it be consumed with our possessions. Life needs to be centered on the person of Jesus Christ. We are His people, and we ought to be satisfied if all that we had in this life was Him. I want you to hear that again. We are God's people, and we should be fully satisfied if all that we had in this life was Him. What did Paul end this life with? What did he ask for at the end of his life? bring me another cloak and the parchments. Folks, that was about the extent of his earthly possessions. But I don't think there was a man more satisfied in this life than Paul. Because he was satisfied with the Lord. I wonder tonight if you've ever come to the conclusion that David came to in Psalm 37 in verse 4, where David said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give thee the desires of our heart." I wonder if we've ever come to the place that we would be able to say, "I'm content if I only had Jesus Christ." We can't be consumed by the desires of the heart. The Bible tells us God will look after those. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of the heart. And folks, what that means is He will give you the desires that your heart ought to have, and then He will happily, joyfully, wonderfully give you of those desires. He will make the desire of your heart match to the desire of His heart, and you will be completely satisfied with that life. Delight thyself in the Lord. Why? Because God is more than enough. Jesus Christ is all we need. There is no need of anything else. There is nothing better that we could have than Jesus Christ. God is more than enough. The problem is we believe that life must be better if we had more wealth. Life must be better if we could get away more often, if only our house was larger, if only things were better. If only, if only, if only, if only, if only, if only. Folks, I'll be honest with you. The if-only life is a miserable life because it never ends. There's always another if-only. There's always a bigger house. There's always more money. It's not enough to be the second richest person in the world. You have to be the first richest person in the world. Why? Well, so I'm known as the richest person in the world. Who cares? You know what they're not happy with? Anything. None of them are satisfied. None of them are really experiencing a great life. And we think, well, it has to be if only, if only. Folks, it's not about if only. We have all that we need in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. We have to learn that our sufficiency must be of Christ. Again, I want you to hear the words, Psalm 107, verse 9. "For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." The Lord Jesus declared, did He not, in John 4, verse 13 to 14, that those who come to Him and drink of Him, the fountain of living waters, will be satisfied. They would never thirst again. He satisfies the longing of our soul. Are you satisfied tonight? Are you satisfied with your position? Are you satisfied with your possessions? The only way you're going to be satisfied with your position and your possessions is if you become satisfied in His person. That all I need is Jesus Christ and Him alone. That is true for you as an individual believer. That is true for your family. That is true for us as a church. Christ ought to be the center of everything we do. It's not simply about position and simply about possessions. And it's not about people in our lives. It really is about one person, Jesus Christ. And I ought to be satisfied in Him. We've been given a wonderful opportunity, have we not, to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And in knowing Him, to love Him. And by loving Him, serve Him. What a privilege is our life. There is nothing that will satisfy like He. will satisfy. Are there pleasures in sin? Absolutely, they're but for a season. Are there pleasures in possessions? Sure they are. But once the newness wears off, so does the pleasure. But it will never wane when it's Christ who's the center of our lives. May we be truly satisfied in Christ and realize that God is more than enough. He is all that I need. Let's pray together as we close.